There. And the Lord spake, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. The Lord sent them out to search the land. He did not send them out to find fault in the land. We must keep our eyes on the prize. Look ahead to finish the line. Look ahead to the finish line, not to your adversities. God said, I give the land I give unto you. I guess the problem there was them believing the promise, huh? In order to receive. How many people were sent out here? Say 12 out of every tribe. He sent out 12 people to search out the land that God wanted to give them. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, Though which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature, and we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of giants, and we were in our own eyesight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Well, they said, we are not able. God puts promises in front of us. God sets opportunity in front of us. In the spirit, we are willing to grab a hold of God's best. But in the flesh, sometimes stinking thinking will get us. Amen. And then you'll end up saying, I'm not able. The vision that God shows you. Let me tell you what. God gives you vision. God gives you vision. You got to find out what's God's vision for your life. What did God say to you? Listen to what God said. What did God promise you? Everybody's got a promise from God. And if you just sit still for a little bit, you'd be able to find out what it is and hear that promise and stick to it. And they said, listen, that's a big promise out there. How many of you heard the promise of God for your life? That's a big promise out there. Well, they were challenged when they saw the promise because I tell you what, every promise... You got to fight for certain things. This is a fight of faith. I'm going to tell you what. If you think things are going to be peaches and cream all your life, you're out of your mind. We're not in heaven yet. There are some adversity to different things that we have to and things that we have to overcome. There's some territory we have to take. Guess what? I mean, the devil's just not going to hand the city over lightly to you. He's not going to give up anything. If he stole it, he's not going to give it up real easy. Guess what? You're going to have to oppose it. You're going to have to fight. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent, how do they get it? They take it, how? By force. I'm talking about violent taking it by force, and y'all are just looking at me like you're ready to have something taken from you. That's probably not the best thing, eh? But I don't want to see that first thing. So the violent take it, they take it by force, and you're going to have to take some things by force as well. Now listen, the result of an evil report. Turn to Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. Every once in a while you hear somebody with a great report and say, we can do this. We can have this. We can accomplish this. And they'll send out some people. You many times you hear the report of God. And you have to be a proclaimer. How many people feel that you've got a heart of leadership? that you're able to lead and influence others. Well, every once in a while, the report of God will come, and God wants to use you as one of the 12. It hasn't manifested what God wants to say yet, but somebody's speaking vision to your heart, speaking a vision to your mind for you to get in sync with and agree with it. God says something, the man of God might preach it and say, listen, this is where we're going. But he'll tell it to what? Foundational people. 12 is the number of foundations. Did you know that? There were 12 apostles and 12 disciples in there, 12 pillars. I tell you what, 12 represent, whenever God wants to do something, he's going to find a foundation of 12. And I believe that God is doing that in this age and in this time right now in this body. There's a vision for us. There's a plan for us. There's a purpose for us. And God's speaking it to the 12. Do you hear what I'm saying? And you need to hear that report and proclaim the same report. I don't care how big the prize is. I'm telling you what, God's got a plan for us. His plan will only be accomplished miraculously. God said it, I believe it, therefore we're going to receive what God said. If we can get in agreement with it and get violent about it. I tell you what, we're looking pretty good here. He sent out 12 witnesses. They came back. 2 came back with a good report. Thank God for those that got a good report. Those that can get a good report. And 10 came back with an evil report. An evil report. Well, you're not going to be, I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to be able to run with fire. You're not going to be able to run with the passion when you got negative report coming your way. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I tell you what, fear will come to you by hearing, but hearing the word of the enemy or the report of the devil. But there are a lot of people that are existing in fear. They're living in fear. They never go for what God wants them to have because somebody is lying to them. Now, I tell you what, if the people are in fear to grab a hold of God's best, I mean, let me tell you what, this was something that he wanted them to have that they didn't have. Yes, there was some reality to what the people were saying. Yeah, there were giants in the land, but say, so what? You got to remember what God says. If God says you can take it, I don't care. Guess what? It's yours. You need to stand by faith in it. I don't care. I don't care if there are giants out there, if it looks impossible. If God says it belongs to you and you can see it, grab a hold of it. Amen. And I tell you what, if everybody else that saw the same thing you did, say opinions. You can, if 10 of them are saying you can't do it, even though God said you can, find one that says you can. Thank God they all didn't turn around with an evil report, but he had one that could believe God. And not only, and that one had somebody to agree with them, so it could take 2 people to turn the boat around. Now the result of an evil report, and all the congregation, say the whole congregation, lifted up their voice and did what? Cried and wept that night. Anybody ever heard people crying and body of Christ crying? We can't do it. We can't make anything. We can't have anything. Every once in a while, you got to get to the point to where you wipe your tears away and pull up a sword of the Spirit and pull up some faith. I remember a friend of mine that we know, they had a situation that just didn't seem to get better. Every time they prayed about it, it just seemed to get worse. And every time they'd come to church, and they'd come to church, and they'd say, do we have any prayer requests? And they'd come with the same prayer request over and over again with tears in their eyes. Tears in their eyes. I'm going to cry about it one more week and see if it gets better. Well, it got to the point where I just said, listen, crying about it hasn't changed a thing. Faith pleases God, and faith moves God. And we said, listen, we're not going to pray about this thing anymore. We're not going to cry about it anymore. We're going to take it by faith and see what God does. As soon as they made up their mind to stand in faith on that thing and you get out of fear over it, God changed it around. I'm telling it, whether you want to hear it or not. And the people cried, say, crying about stuff. Got depressed about it. God's not going to work on any issue you're depressed over. He's not going to pick you up until you pick up your mind and get some light in the situation. First, you got to do what you want God to see your situation. Put some light on it. Make the darkness go away. Start to rejoice, even in the dark season, in the night times. So an evil report will cause the people to cry and to weep. And the children of Israel, they did something else. They started to murmur. My, it's promise time and people get complaining. I've noticed that people complain when God's about to do something big. people start, whenever God wants to, I'm going to tell you, when nothing's going on, there's no grace, the people behave. But as soon as God is ready to do a big thing and there's a promise in the midst and things are at stake, I tell you what, that devil gets so busy with the murmuring and complaining spirit. A result of a negative evil report will cause people to complain. And the murmur against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto him, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. They said, you got me into this mess. Here they could have gone on to the promised land, and they started complaining and they want to go back. I tell you what, when you're to the point to where the devil's trying to make you go back into the world, go back into things you came out of, I tell you what, you're almost at promised land. When he starts to tempt you with stuff that you should have never jumped into this, you should have never opened your mouth to faith, you should have never trusted God, I tell you what, you're at the promised land. When you feel that spirit of discouragement, the spirit of discouragement is sent out as a last resort. He's a special agent of the devil. See, the devil can't turn you around when God's got something for you, but he can send spirits of discouragement, lying spirits to you, evil spirits to you, to get you to change your mindset. Look out for a spirit of discouragement. They say, listen, you should have not got us out of here. And wherefore have the Lord brought us into the land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be prey? Were it better for us to return to Egypt? Would it have been better for us to stick out? We should have just stayed where we are. We were fine the way it used to be. Yesterday. I tell you what, yesterday's gone. It's a new day. Get over yesterday and go on for what God wants tomorrow. And before you can receive it tomorrow, you got to sacrifice yesterday. There's a little bit of risk to life. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you what, faith is you got to have faith. And faith is substance of things that are not seen. What is faith, substance of things? What God wants to do for you, it ain't materialized yet, but when you put your faith to it, it will materialize. But many people can't get a new thing because they're not ready to get rid of an old thing. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and return to Egypt. I see that spirit all the time. I mean, you catch that devil all the time. That's when I get really excited and know God's about to do something. When they deform little clicks here, little clicks there to turn around. Little chiefs start popping up everywhere you turn around. The devil starts assigning agents to take people back. Say rebellion and mutiny. People get discouraged when you see those things. But listen, they were at the forefront of the promised land and rebellion and mutiny popped its ugly head up. But when you see those things, notice that God's about to do something good. Let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Say, let us. Did God talk to them? God talked to Moses, didn't he? And they said, let us do this. And you know what? They could have done whatever they wanted to do. God accomplished their plan. Egypt was a place of bondage. And they made up their mind what they wanted to do. Instead of thanking God for the promise, they cried for the fear of men. See, there are certain people that need to start rejoicing when you hear what God wants to do. But you can't rejoice instead of complaining of the adversaries and the things you got to go through to get it. The result of an evil report will bring murmur and gossip, which will bring death. Once you start out, never turn back. They said, would that God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. As their faith was, so be it unto them. As your faith or your fear is, so be it unto you. Watch your mouth in times like this. Now that's what happens in an evil report. It's an evil report. Somebody hadn't heard God. You can tell the fruit of somebody that heard God or not. You can tell the fruit of a ministry that has the word of God in it or the word of the flesh. People are positive. They're excited. They've got a good report and they're at peace. Now the good report. Caleb of the tribe of Judah had a good report. It's hard when you come out of Judah to have a bad report. It's hard to come out of the place of praise with a bad report. It's hard to get a man of praise to speak bad about God. It's hard to give an evil report in the midst of praise. When times are hard, cover your mouth with praise. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I tell you what, when the devil's trying to get you to lose your mind and go crazy, it's time to sing a worship song. It's time to lift up Jesus. I'll tell you what, when you got a, let me tell you, if you got a promised land to the other side, it's time to put a praise in your mouth. I tell you what, I see victory. I'm not just trying to pump you up. I'm telling you the truth. We've heard heaven, and I believe God's about to do something beyond ourselves. I don't know how he's going to do it. My God, but I believe him enough that I just know he's going to do it. Why? Because I've seen him do it over and over and over and over again. He's going to do it his way. Don't get confused by what's going on in the world. Get excited about the report of heaven and go forward. Joshua of the tribe of Ephraim brings salvation. Numbers chapter 14, verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of whoever this boy was, I can't pronounce that word, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and said unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If God delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. See, they realized that the issue was not the army on the other side, but it's God that gives the land. The issue is not how much money you got in your pocket, but God that wants to bless you with the thing that you're believing him for. I tell you what, if God said it, he'll do it. Many times you make it hard on yourself. You lessen God's plan by telling him what to do and how he's going to do it. Just say, I receive it. Any way you want to let it come, come. Many of us, we go out there. God says he wants to do something for you. You go out there and get in the flesh and get in this thing and get in that thing. And God said, I would have just drove it to your door, but now I got to go down this road to bring it to you. You don't need to help God out. You just need to be obedient. He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear not. Joshua could only see the Lord who brings salvation. Joshua brought the Lord into the picture by saying, if the Lord delight in us. Have you calculated God in your budget? Have you calculated God's intervention in your may appear to be calamity? Have you calculated God in your process of loan? Have you calculated God in bringing you out of the thing that you don't think you can get out of? See, we want to look at each other to see what we can accomplish together and what we can do. We can't do much together. It'll take us a long time. But when you put God in the picture, and you put the Holy Ghost in the picture in his ability and his pavilion and his provision, guess what? Things will start to happen suddenly. I'm just trying to preach your faith up to what God's saying. I'm trying to develop your faith because I see some things. My God, they've already started to materialize. They've already started to manifest. We got that word on Friday night about the things opening up. Next day we came into work. Another whole series of Holy Ghost meetings in Indiana had opened up. I'll tell you what, if you just get in sync with what God wants to do, you'll be blessed abundantly. If you just see what God wants you to see, believe it, and not get distracted by the things of the world, but hold on to your faith. Faith pleases God. Hold on to your faith. See, you're learning that all these little rat trails, they all just run around in circles, but the person that hears God, believes God, and sticks to it is going to end up at their expected end. How? I don't know, and that's all right, but I know God. He'll make a way. It's exciting to find out. That should give you joy right now. I'm going to see God work a miracle. I tell you what, I get scared thinking about how he's going to do stuff. Not of what the devil does. I don't fear the enemy. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid? Period, point blank. He's out of the picture. When I get afraid of this kind of stuff, God's about to do something. How is he going to do it? I just don't want him to surprise me too bad. I'm serious about it. I'm serious about it. I'm serious about it. He can do anything. See, when you hear a word of God, you should scream. You should shout and say, that's enough for me. That's faith developed. And wait on it. And wait on it. and wait on it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't help it out and just wait on it. The only thing you jump on is what the Holy Ghost inspired you to do. And you'll be blessed on the way there. Joshua could only see the Lord who brings salvation. Joshua brought the Lord into the picture by saying, if the Lord delights in us. Jesus is the issue in every circumstance. If there's something missing in the problem, you get what I'm saying? If there's some missing money, you hear what I'm saying? If there's just something that you can't figure out, it's Jesus. He is the call that you need to make. He's the big deal you're trying to wind in. He's the big interest rate that you're waiting to see drop. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the signature on the bottom of the loan that you've been waiting for. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's Jesus. It was harvest time, and God was ready to move. Do you hear me in Numbers chapter 13, verse 21? I tell you what, I've got a vision of what God wants to do. I used to get in this thing and roll with it, and I'm still rolling with it, get all excited. But I tell you what, this is one that's so big, I'm just jumping out of it and looking at it from a distance. It was harvest time, and God was ready to move. It is harvest time, and God is ready to move now. Therefore, 13 verse 21, and be of good courage is what Joshua told the people to do, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now, the time was the time of first ripe grapes. If you can't take the harvest, if you can't take the harvest to the wilderness, you must go. Say the wilderness. Say it one more time. Say it one more time. I'm going to help you out one time. We talked about the wilderness before, and I'm going to share this one thing about the wilderness. Everybody say, tell me how did you feel when you came out the wilderness? Came out the wilderness. Came out the wilderness. Tell me how did you feel when you came out the wilderness? I tell you what. Some of us have been in the wilderness. You hear what I'm saying? There have been some things going on in our life, some spiritual attitudes, some mental mindsets that need to be renewed. I tell you what, and you've gone through a wilderness experience. The wilderness is the place of the wild. Write that down. Living in an uncultivated state. Do you hear where anything can happen? I tell you what, I mean, you haven't arrived in your promised land yet, but I believe there's a window of opportunity for some people. God spoke this to us before, and not everybody came through it. And I'm going to speak this to you again. You can be ignorant if you want to. You can be slow to hear if you want to. Chances are that's the way it'll be anyhow. You got to make sure you're one of the persons that hear the word. Even in Jesus' ministry, 25% of the people heard the word. 75% of the people just sat there and looked stupid and stayed where they were. And you think it's going to be any different here or any different anywhere? Jesus said, those that have an ear to hear, let them hear. If you can't hear, you'll be left here. If you can't hear, you'll be left here. There's no time to be dumb. God's people are moving on the higher thing. You better get yourself some revelation knowledge and apply it to your life and make a change. The place of the wild and uncultivated state. The wilderness is for the wild. Now, some of you are in some wilderness experiences in your life. In between places. I mean, you've come out of the world. You've come out of bondage. You've come out of some stuff. You're no longer bound. But you haven't quite reached the place of abundance yet. You haven't reached the place of full anointing yet. You haven't come into your promised land yet. You're in between. But you're on the way. But in between those two places, do you hear what I'm saying? In between those two places, there is a wilderness experience. And some people never make it out of the wilderness of their life. Hanging around in the desert all the days of their life. Word of God comes preaching to them and say, go take the land. Then an attitude will arise or some other thing will arise. And leave them there in the wilderness. I'm ready to come out of the wilderness. I'm ready to surrender all to Jesus. Become pliable to his ultimate will. Get my faith established, you man, where I wouldn't be moved to the left or to the right. It's the Holy Ghost that brings you out of the wilderness. You hear what I'm saying? He brings you out with the word of his mouth. I tell you what, if you can't be led by... You see, he's a shepherd that leads his sheep. He leads them with his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And a voice of a hireling, they won't hear, they won't do all those other things. But I tell you what, if you can hear God in the wilderness, you'll make it to the promised land. If you can hear God in the wilderness and have that God's voice in the wilderness train you, it will take you to the promised land.
devil's trying to keep some people where you are.
This might not be for everybody, but somebody can hear this thing. The devil would love to keep you right where you are. Hey, you're not going any farther. All you're going to be doing is looking over the hills and seeing all the giants living on your land. But God's trying to speak to you tonight and will give you a strategy plan how to get out of this wilderness thing. You know where you need to go, and you know where God wants you to be. So there are a lot of people that know where they need to go and where God wants them to be, but that's not enough. Knowing about it and being there are two different things. You got to get there. Every once in a while, I'm going here, I'm going here. There are always people saying, I'm going here, they ain't going nowhere. But at least they're saying they're going someplace. But for those that have developed their faith, it's time for you to develop actions and a lifestyle that will have you start to walk into those things that you've been talking about. Coming out of the wilderness. And Joshua, in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, and Joshua and Caleb made it out. I tell you what, anybody want to make it out? Anybody want to just break out? There'll be a whole lot of people hanging on and hanging back, but you need a breakout anointing. You need to break it out. Stop trying to hold on to everybody. They didn't let the whole tribe of Israel keep them back. Everybody else was sitting back there holding the election, murmuring, complaining, and going through all kind of trip stuff, but they broke out and they broke away. Say, I'm about to break out. You can't hold me back. You can do whatever you want to. I'm going to break out. I'm tired of being in the wilderness. I'm just going to escape. I'm going to escape from Alcatraz. It's time to escape that mess. Time to escape disease and sickness and depression and poverty and always losing and going through cycles. It's time to escape routine. Get out of it while you can. Get out. Run. There's a trap for everybody. There's a trap and there's a pitfall for everybody. There's a rut that you can get in. But there's a window of opportunity and there's a grace of God. And there's a wide thing. And when the Lord says, listen, you can take it, you better take it then. But take it by faith. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. See, you gotta have something change you in the wilderness experience. You gotta have a renewed spirit. You go into the wilderness with one spirit and one attitude, one mentality, one group of habits and hang-ups and all that other stuff. I tell you what, you get rid of it in the wilderness. So I say a new spirit. Because he had another spirit with him, a stronger anointing. The spirit I used to have used to get upset all the time. But now I got another spirit. The spirit I had before would see difficulty and adversity and then back up and get afraid and say, oh, forget it. But now I got another spirit, a spirit of boldness. Do you hear what I'm saying? You've got to change it. In every wilderness experience, you've got to come out with a new spirit, a new attitude. Keep being renewed. Don't stay the same. The minute you decide to stay the same, I'm just going to be listening, wait for Jesus to come. Jesus ain't going to pick you up in the wilderness. You're going to rise to the promised land. You're supposed to meet him in the air. He's coming back to get you, but he's not going to come back looking for you in the wilderness behind a bush in a rock someplace. Where are you? I'm running from the devil. You're going to meet him in the air in heavenly places. I tell you what, if you had any idea what I'm going to believe God for, but you know, it's just an attitude. I decide to do it. There are certain things God put in your thing. Faith will humble you sometime. I tell you what. Coming out of the wilderness. Anybody want to come out? You better start packing up. Somebody said, because you're going to be here by yourself if you stay. We're going on to higher things. Coming out of the wilderness, you need to have a defensive and offensive faith. Say, it's time for offensive faith. I got that wrong right there. It's not a defensive and an offensive faith. It's time to change your defensive faith to offensive faith. You know there are different types of faith. Defensive faith is when you don't let the devil take anything. You don't try to go too far ahead. You just balance yourself. You got to find out what God wants you to do. Say, I'm just going to sit right here. I'm just going to compose myself. I'm just going to defend myself. Every once in a while, your faith will... See, that's what some people get all messed up with. They miss the seasons and times of God. There's a time when you just need to stay there and wait and hold your peace and don't go back. And you get all upset because you're not going forward. No, there's a time when you don't get upset about it. God just said, don't go back. There's a grace for you to stand right where you are. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't let the devil take a thing from you.
You got to get to the point and say, that's it. He's not stealing another thing from me. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to sell another thing. I'm not going to hawk another thing. I'm not going to lose another thing. Say defensive faith. That's two rules. There are two kind of faith. There's no such thing as a losing faith. No such thing as a running the other way faith. It's an offensive faith and a defensive faith. Say, I will go forward and stand. It's only two choices. When I'm standing, I ain't going back. I'm just standing there. I will not be moved. I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I shall not be moved. And there's some people that the devil scared you off and backed you up. I tell you what, if you just learn to stand there, you'll get life. Life will go a whole lot better for you. Stop running every time the devil says boo. Stop chasing every little rabbit trail. All this other stuff that gets out there, you just stand there in the promise of God. What did God say? Don't retreat. Say no retreat. No giving back, no giving in. I'm just standing there. And you can stand. If God puts you someplace, you can stand there. Only way they're going to get you to move is if you decide, I'm just going to move. Say, well, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to move when God says move. I'm going to be right here. The only time I'm moving when I'm taking your place. If you want, and when I move, I'm coming your way. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not going back that way. When I move, devil, I'm coming your way. I'm not going back anymore. Can you stand to be blessed? And some of you have stood there and you've been complaining. Well, this ain't been happening. That ain't been happening. I ain't seen the great this. I ain't seen all this other stuff. No change here. Well, I tell you what, it has been a change. When you look where your broke behind was 5 years ago, there's been a change. So don't you dare sit. Ain't a person here can sit there and lie to me and tell you things hadn't changed for you. It's a whole lot better. I need to get a little Polaroid camera, make it somebody's ministry, take their picture. This is what it was. This is what it is right now. Things have changed. The devil had been kicking your butt just half as long. I tell you what, a 15-minute butt-whipping from the devil is a lot better than a 30-minute butt-whipping. Someone used to go and get depressed for months and weeks on end. Now he goes and gets you for about 5 to 10 minutes, but faith helps you get up out of it. Things have changed. Things have changed. Things has changed. You haven't got over there yet, but it ain't what it used to be. Come on, be for real about it. You all look good in here tonight. Some of y'all been to places that look like you just jumped off the first train that stopped over on the railroad. But God's got a hold of you and fixed things up. And you haven't even got there yet. That's what you get when you stand there. See, those that stand when God wanted them to stand and didn't run all over the place, you got some strength now that you didn't have before. You are about to enter into a season of offensive faith. But make sure that your faith is based in God's word. Offensive faith is when this happens. I speak a grace. A grace. See, some of us are dealing, you know, certain things happen according to the interest rates or to the stock market. Things change based on what's going on out there. In the realm of the spirit, things change based on some rates too. But the interest rate of the spirit has changed. Now there's an open window of opportunity for those that will jump into faith and jump into the spirit. This is the time when the switch is about to come on. When the offensive faith is when what's on the inside of you comes out. When what's on the inside of you comes out. Harvest time. Harvest time. When what's on the inside, that thing you've been believing God for, when what's on the inside of you comes out, you can leave it there if you want to. That's between you and God. I'm just trying to find 1, 2, 3, 4. It's time for manifestation. It's time for manifestation. It's time for manifestation for that thing you stood for. It's time. It's harvest time. It's time for travail. Holy Ghost, supernatural, spiritual travail. It's time for travail, and it's time for a little bit of effort. They work. You're about to take the promised land. But you're not going to take the promised land until you get into the spirit of travail, until you put some action to it. If you sit on your rear end during this season, you'll be in the wilderness next year. But if you get up and you get active on the word of God, you start to act on the things that God tells you to do. You start to act on it. You'll come out. You'll come out. You'll come out. Don't just think about it. You can think about it. He'll say, well, I'm going to give you a whole new season to think about it. But for those that have thought about it, those that are totally convinced that God is a man that he shouldn't lie, he said, I don't need to retake this test. I'm ready to move on to higher things and better things. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Say it one more time. Faith.
Faith.
You can do it by faith.
You can do it by faith.
You can have it by faith. God said it. You can have it. Just believe him.
And get obedient. Get on with what God tells you to do. Don't limit the Holy Ghost. Those that have had the word of faith preach them, you should be rejoicing. Stir up that gift of faith that's on the inside of you. Say, it shall be. Even as God told me. It's time to get spiritual. Time to get excited. It's time to take a step in faith. God is real. You tried it your way, now try it God's way. Or you can take another season to ride your tricycle in the wilderness. But I'm totally convinced that God's way is the best way and it's the only way. Say, I will be obedient to the Holy Ghost. I will sow my spirit into the things of God. Somebody needs to trust God tonight. Somebody needs to trust God tonight. Somebody needs to make up in their mind they're going to trust God and be completely obedient to the Holy Ghost tonight. He's proven himself even in the wilderness. But now he wants to show you what he can do in the promised land. He said, if I can provide for you in the wilderness, imagine what I can do to you in the promised land. And there's a call tonight. There's a call tonight. There's a call tonight. There is a call tonight. You got to hear this thing by faith. There's a call tonight. Say, Lord, I will go take the promised land. You got to be careful what you say. That means go to war. Didn't say receive the promised land. Say go take it. You've already received it, but you got to take it. And you said, I will go take the promised land. And the devil says, from who? God's looking for somebody that's willing to bang the devil in his face and take back what he stole. To receive this call tonight, you've got to have a vision. If you don't have a vision, stay in the wilderness because you don't know where you're going. If there's a promise out there for you, something you've been believing God for, trusting for, if there's a vision that you have that you want to see fulfilled in this season, there's a promised land for you.